This week is Parshas Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis is a very important Parsha. The Medrash has a comment on the Pasuk Vayera Vayivoka Yom HaShishi Echula Shemayim V'Horetz. So the Medrash Rabbah quotes two Psukim from Mishlei. One Pasuk reads, Kvod Elokim Hester Dovor. It's the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you keep things a secret. And the next Pasuk says, Kvod Melochim Chakor Dovor. It's the honor of a king when you publicize things, when you delve into the details. So the Medrash says that calls man that there was no human being on the face of the earth before Adam HaRishon was created. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't yet a melech, in melech b'layom. You can't be a melech unless you have a kingdom, unless you have some people there. So the first sheishis may be reishis up until Briyasa Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a lekim. Only after Adam HaRishon was created can we apply the name Melech, and then you say Kvod Melochim Chakor Dovah. So the Medrash concludes that whatever is described in Bereishis until after Briyasa Adam, we're not allowed to delve into. Only after Adam HaRishon was created by Yerav Avek Yom HaShishim V'chul HaShemayim V'Horetz HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech, then we apply the rule Kvod Melochim Chakor Dovah. This is what it says in the Gemara in Chagig also, in the second parak, that you're not allowed to delve into Malafonim Malayochar. You're not allowed to try to analyze the background, how did the world come into existence, the theories of the Big Bang. That's called Malafonim, what happened before the Marishan was created. And the Gemara quotes a different pasuk. The Gemara doesn't quote the psukim from Mishlei that the Medrash Rabbah quotes, Kvod Elokim Hester Dovah, Kvod Melochim Chakor Dovah. The Gemara quotes a different pasuk from Chumash Dvarim. The pasuk says, Ki shal noli amrim rishanim shahayu lafanech lemin hayom ashabar elokim odem al horet lemekzei ha-shamayim at-kei ha-shamayim. So the pasuk pshat in the pasuk is, if you study history, Ki shal noli amrim rishanim, if you study history, you'll see that the only time HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a nation out of another nation was Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that we are the Am HaNivchar. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation on that pasuk. Kishi al nodi yamim rishonim. If you want to delve into what happened in the Pesach, that's fine, that's perfect, that's permissible. But only in the min hayom shabar lekim adam al ha'aretz. You're only allowed to delve into what all of the rules of nature. Physics, chemistry, biology, whatever, mathematics, everything, only the min hayom shabar lekim adam al ha'aretz. Only from the time that Adam HaRishon was created. And before that, before Adam HaRishon was created, you're not allowed to delve into that. That's the halacha. That malafonim, that's this same thing that the Medrash Rabbah says. In the opening pasuk, Bereishis bar lekim es ha-shamayim ves ha-aretz, so the Ramban has a lot to say on Bereishis. A lot of it is very famous, very important. So the Ramban says that Bereishis bar lekim es ha-shamayim ves ha-aretz. Shamayim means the world of ruchnius, and aretz means the world of Gashmias, and that's the end, that's the last time the Torah speaks here about Shemayim. And everything that continues later is all Oretz, when it says God created the sun and the moon and the stars and the firmament and everything in the sky. The sky is not the heavens. Shemayim is the heavens, means the Olam of Ruchnias. And everything that's described in Bereishis is all the world of Gashmias. This is, none of this is Shemayim. Rakia is not the same as Shemayim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik told, used to be a Rabbi Scheinberger, who used to come collect money for the Eidah Haredis. So Rabbi Soloveitchik enjoyed speaking to him. He's a very sharp fellow. I think when he was much younger, he put out a few sermons. When he was much younger, he wrote the official biography of the Maharil Diskin, Asorif Mibrisk. He became famous for that. And then he put out other sermons as well. So he, when man first landed on the moon, so he came to Rav Soloveitchik. He happened to be in America then, came to Rav Soloveitchik. All the people in Meir Sharm were very disturbed. How can it be? The pasuk says, HaShamayim, Shamayim, Hashem, V'horetz Nasan Levnei Yodam. So there were people who didn't believe that man landed on the moon. They said the whole story is made up. Can't be, because the pasuk says, HaShamayim, Shamayim, Hashem. We're not allowed to go to the moon. V'horetz Nasan Levnei Yodam. We're only allowed to be on the earth. We're not allowed to go to the sun. We're not allowed to go to the moon. Rav Soloveitchik thought that man's desire to go to the moon is a healthy desire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, and he Adam and Chava, And he told them, Yirdu b'digas hayam v'yov shamayim v'babahem v'chol oretz v'chol aremes aremes al ha'oretz v'chibshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam Rishon the interest in conquering the world, in figuring out all the cures for all the sicknesses and everything. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that desire itself to fly to the moon is part of v'chibshua. He thought that itself is not an act of merit against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when the pasuk says Hashemayim Shamayim Lashem Baharas Nasan Avnei Adam, so Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's the same kavanah as the Ramban on the opening pasuk in Bereishis, that the sun, the moon, the stars, everything is part of Aretz. It's not part of Shamayim. Hashemayim Shamayim Lashem means the world of Ruchnius, the world of Malachim, the world of Ruchnius. That's Lashem. Aretz includes, like the Ramban on Chumash writes, everything that we know in this whole wide world, all the galaxies and all the stars. Everything is part of Aretz. He didn't think that was part of Shamayim. The Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon B'Tzelem Elokim. That's very important. Adam HaRishon. The Mishnah says, Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikru Banim Lamakim. There is a machloikis, the Meforshim on the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. There is a machloikis among the Meforshim. How do you translate that Mishnah? Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikru Banim Lamakim. So the Pashup Shat is that all people in the world were created B'Tzelem Elokim. Ebene Yisrael have even a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim. That's called Banim Lamok. Tzelem Elokim square. More Tzelem Elokim. But Chaviv Adam, Poshib Shat, means it goes on all human beings. The Maharal Prague thinks that Chaviv Adam only goes on Adam Arishan. That Adam Arishan was created with Tzelem Elokim. And then the Kuzari has a whole thesis. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who was before the Rambam, he was Talmud of the Rif. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes in the Kuzari that this Inyan Aleki that Adam HaRishon had, the Tzelem Elokim, was only transmitted to one of his children. Adam, Sheis, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalala, Yered, Chanoch, and so on. And those generations only transmitted to one person, till Noach, and then it was transmitted till Avram Avinu. Then Avram only transmitted it to Yitzchak, who in turn only transmitted it to Yaakov. And Yaakov was Mitoso Shleima. That was the first time that all of the children had the Inyan Ho'eliki. So there are the Maharal Prague is of the opinion that the Tzelem Elokim is only by Yisraelim, not by the Umisoelim. They don't have it anymore. All along, it was only the Inyan Aleki, that's the expression that the Kuzari was written in Arabic. He doesn't say Inyan Aleki, but we use the Hebrew translation. So in the Hebrew translation, that's the way it's referred to. This Inyan Aleki only was transmitted to one son, Adam Sheis Enosh Kenan Mahalal, and so on. And then it left that it's only by Bnei Yisrael. So the Yom HaSalem don't have a Tzelem Elokim. We usually assume not so. We usually assume, like Roiv HaMeforshim, that the Tzelem Elokim applies to all the Yom HaSalem. And in fact, in the Haftorah, Parshas Bereishis, the Navi Yeshaya mentions the fact that the Jewish people are supposed to serve the Etencho Lebris Om Leor Goyim. The Jewish people are supposed to be a light unto the nations. We're supposed to show the Ummah Soilam how to act properly, a light unto the nations in what area. So it doesn't mean Shabbos and Kashvis and Taras HaMishpacha. That's only for Bnei Yisrael. It means Leor Goyim is supposed to serve as a light unto the nations in this area, that they share this in common with Bnei Yisrael. They also have Tzelem Elokim. So we're supposed to show them the way one is supposed to act based on the Tzelem Elokim. Way one is supposed to, all the mitzvahs shebeiran machaveira are based on the assumption the other fellow has a Tzelem Elokim, so you have to treat him with respect. This idea that the Navi Yeshaya says that the Jewish people are supposed to serve as Or Lagoyim, a light unto the nations, all of the ideas that the Nevi'im developed were all told to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how the Gemara says, the Rambam quotes this Gemara. The Rambam in the Hakdamah to his Mishnah Torah quotes the Gemara in the beginning of Brachas. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Alei Elai Ha'hori Vetin Lachos Luchos Ha'eben HaTorah Mitzvah Asher Kasapti Lahoi Roisom. So the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu on top of Har Sinai everything. Etel chos luchos ha'evin, the aseres ha'dibras, v'ha'toyro, the rest of the chamishil chamshatoyro. The ha'mitzvahs refers to the Torah Shebal Peh. A lot of times we have the expression mitzvah in Chumash, it refers to kashet tzivisicha, refers to Torah Shebal Peh. V'zavachta kashet tzivisicha. The Gemara says you have to do shchita. Kashet tzivisicha refers to the chamishil chashchita that ha'lachal ha'mashim nisina. Every so often you have the expression mitzvah, tzivisich l'chumish, refers to Torah Shabbat. Then the Gemara says, Asher Kasafti is the reference to Nevi'im Aksuvim. Everything that it says in Nevi'im Aksuvim was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't think it necessarily means that the Pasuk itself was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. It means that the ideas were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. The ideas were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Asher Kasafti, Lahorasam refers to Mishnah. That's how the Gemara, the Rama quotes this Gemara. The Gemara Brachos, the beginning of Brachos. So everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So this idea that Yeshaya Novi speaks of, that the Jewish nation are supposed to serve as Orla Goyim, must appear in Chumash somewhere. There's such a Gemara Megillah also. The Gemara says, any idea... Gemara says it based on a pasuk after Melchemes Amolek, in the end of Bishalach. So Zosi Karma Sefer. So the Gemara says that every idea that appears in the Nevi'im Uksuvim appears already in Chumash.
You see by Yaakov that when he went afterwards, he dug wells for the people of Shechem, no?
Mm-hmm. Right, we have in a few places in Chumash that the Jewish people are supposed to serve as an Orla Goy. Navi Yishai didn't come up with this new idea. It's rooted in Chumash. It says in Chumash also, right? The pasuk says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Arishon, Vayikach Ofer Minhu Adoma. He took offer from Adoma. What exactly is that referring to? So Rashi quotes two interpretations from the Medrash. One interpretation is, it's based on the expression, Mishpach Adoma Ta'asali. That's the last parsha before Mishpatim, right at the end of Yisro. Mishpach Adoma Ta'asali. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took offer Minho Adoma from the Mokam HaMizbeach and Yerushalayim to make Adam Arishon. Why? Alavai shetehelo kapara. This is the Medrash is saying the same thing that the Gemara says. The Gemara says in Pesachim that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, before Bereshis, he created seven different things. He created different things before Bereshis Olam. So one of the things that he created before Bereshis Olam was the Koyach HaTshuva, because the whole purpose of creation was in order to have man, and in order to have mitzvahs in the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to plan to create Adam Arishon with the Bechira Chavshis. So man will have the ability to sin, but he wants man to have the ability to do tshuva also. So the Koyach HaTshuva was created in the world before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So that's what the Medrash says. Vayikach offer minho Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took offer from a Mokma Mizbeach, that the Pasuk says, Mizbech Adam Ta'aseli Halavai Shetelo Kapora. He created man in such a way that he should have Bechira Chavshis. That's really what it means, Tzelem Alekim. What do you mean God has two eyes and two nostrils and two ears? Yoshke has that. That's not what Tzelem Alekim means. Tzelem Alekim, the Meshech Chochma quotes from the Kabbalim. He quotes from the Sefer, the Mabitz Sefer on Hashkofa, Beis Alekim, and he says that all the Kabbalim say the same, that Tzelem Alekim means Bechira Chavshis. That there was nothing forcing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world. It's not that if you would be God, you would be compelled, you would be forced into creating the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world out of his own free will. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man with Tzelem Elokim, means that man has Bechira Chavshis. That's part of Tzelem Elokim. Part of Tzelem Elokim is that man has Bechira Chavshis. So man has Bechira Chavshis, so he can choose to sin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Koyach HaTshuva. In the slichas that we recite before Rosh Hashanah, we mentioned this, that the Koyach HaTshuva is one of the things that was created before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world. Because the whole tachlis of the Bria was in order to have Adam. And man is going to sin, so you have to create the Koyach HaTshuva. And Rashi quotes another interpretation from the Medrash, Eikach Hashem Elokim, Ofer Minu Adama. Ofer Minu Adama means from all over Arba Ruchas HaOlam. So Rashi quotes the Lashon of the Medrash that wherever a person die, Ha'aretz Kol Tasa, he'll be able to be buried there. The earth won't reject them. I don't know exactly what that means. Rav Soloveitchik has in one of his published essays that man's desire to travel, people want to go to Europe, to visit Europe and to visit Australia and to see the whole world, it's because of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled this desire into man. He created man from all over the world, from Min HaAdama, from all Arberuchas HaOlam, so people have a desire. People like to be home, but people feel at home all over the world. People feel that they want to see what's doing in England, they want to see what's doing in France, and in Europe, and in Asia, and in Africa, and so on. All of this was built into the Bria from the very outset. The Ramban has an interesting comment on Bereishis. The pasuk says that Hashem created something. Vayara lekim kitov. He created the light. Vayara lekim kitov. Sure. Then he created the rakia. Vayara lekim kitov every day, except for Monday. Tuesday it says twice kitov. Every day it says vayara lekim kitov. What does that mean, kitov? So the Ramban asks, by a human being, so a person has chalomis, what he's going to do. So he's going to marry such and such a girl who's going to look like this, and they're going to have a home near a lake, and he's going to have an easy parnasa, and he's going to have so many children, and he's going to marry them off, and all these dreams that people have. And then the girl that he marries doesn't exactly look like that, doesn't turn out to be like that, and the parnasa is not exactly the way he dreamt it was going to be, and the home that he buys is not exactly on the lake, it's not exactly the way he dreamt. Because we don't control what's going to be. A person builds a house, he dreams in advance what it's going to look like, then sometimes he is satisfied, sometimes not satisfied the way it comes out. But Kodesh Baruch Hu, it does make sense to say, he said, Hirakia, and then he said, Vayar Lekim Kitov. He creates the animal, Vayar Lekim Kitov. It turned out good. Turned out good. What do you mean? However he wanted it to be. B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, Uroch Piv Kol Tzvar. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave, he just had a Rotzen Hashem, Basar Mamaris Nivra Ho'ilam. A maimer doesn't necessarily mean to speak. A maimer means Ratzon Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed his desire that a world should come into existence. So if he desired that it should be a beautiful world, it'll be a beautiful world. If he desired it should be an ugly looking world, it'll be ugly looking. So what does it mean? He had a desire and he created the world, and then it turned out, ooh, it's good. What do you mean it turned out it's good? If that's what he wanted, it's going to be good. If he wouldn't have wanted it to be good, it wouldn't have been nice. So how do you understand the pshat and the pasuk that he's judging after he created every step of the creation? So the Ramban explains it doesn't mean that. What it means is that the nature of the world is that nothing existed. The only thing that exists is HaKadosh Baruch. Einod Milvada doesn't only mean that there's no other God outside of the one God that we believe in, Hashem Echad. Einod Milvada means that nothing else exists. HaKadosh Baruch created everything Yesh Me'ayin. How can you create Yesh Me'ayin? We don't understand it. It's Lamayla Manateva. We can't understand such a thing. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Yesh Me'ayin, so this miracle should only take effect for a second, a split second, then everything should flop back into non-existence. So the pasuk says, Vayar Lekim Kitov, it does mean that he judged that it's nice. Vayar Lekim Kitov is another desire, another Ratzon Hashem, that not only should the animals and should the grass and should the trees come into existence for a second, for a split second, it's a continued desire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to continue to remain in existence like that. And if not for that, Ratzon Hashem, Vayar Lekim Kitov, the wish that everything should remain the way He created it, everything would have flopped back into non-existence, which is His basic nature. The nature of everything is that nothing really exists. The only thing that exists is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Einoid Malvado. This is the theme of the second Chelek of the Tanya. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a sefer. Lubavitcher referred to him as the Bala Shulchan Aruch, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. He wrote his own Shulchan Aruch. And everybody else refers to him, they don't use the Shulchan Aruch so much, they refer to him as the Bala Tanya, the one who wrote the Tanya. The correct name of the sefer is Sifan Shel Beinanim. He talks about Tzadikim and Rishayim and Beinanim, so we should try to be Beinanim. So his book is a book for Beinanim. And the nickname of the book is the Tanya, because the first word in the book is Tanya. He starts quoting a passage from the Gemara, Tanya. So the second chelik of the Tanya is known as the Shara Yichud Ve'amuna. When you study the Tanya, you get the impression that it should really have been the first chelik. We don't know exactly why it's the second chelik. And this Ramban is the whole theme of that Shara Yichud Ve'amuna. That if you have a river that's flowing, and you want to make Kriyas Yamsuf, you put your hand in the way, and the water doesn't flow anymore, so the Bnei Yisrael can walk over. So you have to hold your hand there the whole time. If you're going to just put your hand there for a second, then take it away, so the water will stop flowing for a second, and then you take away your hand, the water will continue to flow. Everything goes back to its original nature, unless you're changing it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to hold his hand or whatever. He caused Kriyas Yamsuf, and he wanted it to stay for a while. And then when his wish terminated, he doesn't want it to stay. So then the water flowed back again. Everything went back to the way it was before. So if the nature of the whole world is that nothing really exists, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle to create Yesh Mayin, so everything should flop. A second later, everything should have flopped back into non-existence. So that was the continued desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ramban, the Baal HaTanya doesn't quote this from the Ramban. That's what the Ramban says, based on the pasuk Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. Every time it says Ki Tov, means that's a Hamecharish Betuva B'chol Yom Tov in Ma'ase Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is continuing to be Mecharish Ma'ase Bereishis by having this continued desire that he wants everything to continue to remain. So the Baal HaTanya quotes this from the Baal Shem Tov, instead of quoting from the Ramban. He quotes it from the Baal Shem Tov, who was after the Ramban, a few centuries after the Ramban. And he quote the Baal Shem Tov says it based on a pasuk in Tehillim. Li'olam Hashem dvorcha nitza b'shamayim. God's words are still suspended in heavens. Which words? Li'olam Hashem dvorcha nitza b'shamayim. Which words? So the Baal Shem Tov said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared, proclaimed the Asara Mamor Shebehem Nivraham, Yehi Rakia, and Tachei Horetz Desha, and so on, all the Asara Mamor Shebehem Nivraham Olam. So that Tzivui is still present today. If that Tzivui would have only been for a second, and it wouldn't continue to be present today, the whole world will flop back into non-existence. Basically, he says exactly the same as the Ramban. He says based on a different pasuk. There is a Mishnah in Brachas, with a Mishnah in Perek Ketzav Mevarchim, speaks about all the different Bichas Hanenin. So we say bar pi weights on fruits, we say bar pi adoma on vegetables. So the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda darshan is a pasuk baruch Hashem yom yom. What do you mean? You only praise HaKadosh Baruch in the daytime, you don't praise HaKadosh Baruch in the nighttime. Ella doesn't mean yom yom daytime as opposed to nighttime. What it means is b'chol yom yom tein l'mein b'choisav shal yom. Whenever the day has something different to it, if today's Rosh Chodesh, or today's Shabbos, or today's Yontov, today's Chol HaMoed, you should mention that in the Brachas, in the Birchas HaMazon, in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the Tefillah, you should mention that. B'chol Yom HaYom Tein L'me'ein B'chosav Shal Yom. You should mention the uniqueness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this day. So all the Tanoim agree to that. B'chol Yom HaYom Tein L'me'ein B'chosav Shal Yom. And the Gemara has a machlekes, how far do you go with this idea that a bracha should have pirut? You should be more detailed. So the Gemara in Sukkah has a machlekes, hatanoim. What if a person is about to fulfill two mitzvahs, one after the other? He wants to put on his talis, then his tefillin shel yad, then the tefillin shel rosh. So one tana says, say one bracha. What do you have to say? Three brachas. One bracha on the talis, one bracha on the tefillin shel yad, one bracha on the tefillin shel rosh. Say one bracha. Shekashem tana. Lasses lekayim mitzvaysav. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin, you say a separate bracha, bracha mefuretas, based on this idea. B'chol yom ayom, tein l'meim b'choisim shal yom. Say a separate bracha on the talis, and a separate bracha on the shal yad, and a separate bracha on the shal rosh. So then the Mishnah has the same machlekes satanoim regarding vegetables. We paskin, you say bar pi adoma on all vegetables. So Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says, no, you have to have pirut. We agree, you need pirut, but we don't agree to this, you don't need Pratim. You say a separate bracha on potatoes, and a separate bracha on tomatoes, and a separate bracha on carrots, and a separate bracha on every vegetable. We don't go so far. So Rabbi Yehuda also doesn't go so far. But Rabbi Yehuda says, since it's saying bari pri ho adoma, since it's saying bria, Boire. So you should look back in Parshas Bereishis when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Tatsheh Ha'aretz Deshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Deshe separately from all the other vegetables. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, Ala Yerokas Oimer, Bari Mini Deshoim. On some vegetables you should say, you should have Bracha Mefuretes. On some vegetables you say Bari Pi Adama. On other vegetables you should say, if they're green vegetables, if they're Yerokas, on green vegetables you say Bari Mini Deshoim. We don't paskan like that. But his idea is based on Pirut, that you need Pirut. And you even need such detailed Pirut, since the Nusach HaBracha is going to meet Borei. So you should look back to the Bria Shemayim Ba'aretz, the way it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Tatshe Ha'aretz Desha. They quote from the Vilna Goyen, we have very little written by the Vilna Goyen himself, he just wrote on the Shulchan Aruch and on the Kabbalah. But everything we have from the Goyen is written by the Talmidim. So they quote from the Vilna Goyen that he made a comment on this Mishnah. Why does it say in the Mishnah, Al HaYirokas Ha'im Ha'bari Mini Deshoim? It should say either Al HaYirokas Ha'im Ha'bari Mini Yirokas, or Al HaDeshoim, I'm a Bari Mini Deshoim. Why does it switch to Loshen? If you're eating Yirokas, you should say a Bracha Bari Mini Deshoim. So the Vilna Goyen said, the Klal is, that's what the Avodram postulates, Avodram is a Sefer on the Siddur, where he gives you the premise of the whole Sefer is, all brachas and all tefillah, almost all brachas and tefillahs, are supposed to be recited in a biblical Hebrew, in the official Hebrew, not in modern language, not in slang, not in spoken language, in the official beautiful Hebrew language of the Loshon HaTanach. So the whole idea of the Avodram, and there are several other Svarim also from that period, from the days of the Rishonim, where they give you the Mokher and Tanach for every expression in the Siddur. So the Vilna Goyen picks up on that theme. So he thinks that that's why the Mishnah switches the Loshon. Al HaYirokas Ha'im Ha'bari Mini Deshoim. The Mishnahs are written in Mishnaic Hebrew, in the spoken Hebrew that they used in the days of the Tanaim. So in the days of the Tanaim, they referred to green vegetables as Yirokas. But you shouldn't say Bracha Bari Mini Yirokas, because that's Mishnaic Hebrew. You want to recite Brachas in Biblical Hebrew. So the Mishnah switches the Loshon. If you're reading Yirokas, you should say Bari Mini Deshoim. You should say Bari Mini Deshoim, because the Deshoim is the biblical Hebrew, and Yerokas is the Mishnaic Hebrew. That's why the Vilna Goyen in Yerideya, the third Chelik Yerideya, so you have the Dinim of Hafrashas Chalon, the Mishin Chav Dalet, around there you have a few Simonim, how to be Mafresh Chalon. So there's a Machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. So the Mechaber says that a bracha is recited if you're Chayv and Chala, a bracha, even Chalas Chutzlo, it says Midrabon, you also say a bracha. So the Mechaber says the bracha should be al hafrashas truma, and the Ramod disagrees and he says no, la hafrish chala minu iso, al hafrashas chala, the two versions, whether al hafrashas chala or la hafrish chala minu iso. So the Vilna Gaon sides with the Mechaber against the Ramod, and he says that in biblical Hebrew the word chala refers to the dough. Hawaii bachoch melachem haaretz reishis sairi sesech mechala. The Reishis Arisa Sechem Chala. Chala is the same as Arisa Sechem. Chala refers to the Rado. Tarimo Truma Lashem. What you take out is called Truma. In Mishnei Kibur, it's called Chala. Mishnah is Chala. Hafrashas Chala. Hafrashas Chala. But the Bracha should not be recited in Mishnei Kibur. The Bracha should really be recited in Biblical Hebrew. In Biblical Hebrew, the word Chala refers to the Isa. And what we take out as Chala, what we call Chala, is a Yiddishism. It's really called Truma, Tarima Truma Lashem. So the Vilna Gaon thinks that the correct bracha should be Al Hafrashas Truma. We spoke before Sukkot, that's the Ramok writes that on Shmini Atzeres you shouldn't, Rashi and Taisus say. The Gemara says that Shmini Atzeres is a regal b'fnei atzma with respect to six different dinim, Pesach, Keshev. So one of the dinim is bracha. So Rashi says, what's the bracha? So Rashi and Tosfos say, you say Yom Hashmini Chagam Atzeres Hazem Birchos Hamazon, and in the Tefillah, and in the Shmoneh Esrei. Yom Hashmini Chagam Atzeres Hazem. So the Ramo comes and he's Chaylik on Rashi and Tosfos. Ramo says that it's unusual. Rashi and Tosfos means that that's all the Balei Tosfos said like that. So the Ramo says he can't say Yom Hashmini Chagam Atzeres Hazem because the word Chag in Biblical Hebrew only means a yontem when you bring a korban chagiga. If you're not chayv to bring a korban chagiga, so the yontav is not really referred to as chag. In modern Hebrew, we refer to Chag Purim, we refer to any holiday as a Chag. But in biblical Hebrew, it's only called a Chag if it's a Yontif on which you bring a Korban Chagigim. So the Ramo claims that since Shmini Atzeres is not Mechayv in a separate Korban Chagigah, you can still bring Tashlumin for the Chagigah of Sukkot that you became Mechuyiv on the first day. So Shmini Atzeres is still Tashlumin, but you don't say Chag HaSukkot, you're saying Chag HaShmini. Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeres HaZeh. So Shmini Atzeres per se is not a Chag. That's the Taina of the Ramo. The assumption being, the premise being, that all the brachas are supposed to be recited in biblical Hebrew. In biblical Hebrew, the word Chag only means a holiday on which you bring a Korban Chagigah.
Even in Mishnei Hebrew, is the word Chag ever used for anything other than the
Shabbat? I don't know.
It's not necessarily right as a Shabbat. I think it's the modern thing that Chag is used other than
Shabbat. Okay.
And also, we have a lot of brachos that are with the Al-Nizlas Lulav, and we say Kiddushim in the
Right. We have a few exceptions to the rule, right? So the Netziv disagrees with the whole Sefer Abu Jam. He's chalik on the whole Sefer. He says the whole premise of the whole Sefer is not correct. He has a Gemara in Brachas when the Gemara talks about burning mini mezainis. So the Gemara, you only say burning mini mezainis if you eat cake and cookies or spaghetti, something like that, from the Chameshas Minei Dogan. So Gemara is bothered with the Kasha, but there's a Mishnah in the Dorim where a person takes a neder not to eat mezainah, so he's not allowed to eat anything at all except for mayim melech. Because the word mezainah applies to everything except for mayim melech, because it has no nutritional value. Everything else has nutritional value except for its meaty design. So the Gemara asked this kasha, how come bari min mezainah only recited chameshes min yedogon, and in the Dorim it says that the person takes a neder min amazon, hanoide min amazon, is also to eat anything except for mayim and milk. So the Gemara works on that kasha. So the Netziv asks, what's the kasha? In Loshem Yodam, they refer to all food as mezainis except for mayim and melech. And in Brachas, Brichas Anen, and Bar Minim Mezainis, that's been biblical Hebrew. So biblical Hebrew, mezainis only refers to chameshes mini dogen. So why does the Gemara consider this a kasha? So he says, from this Gemara is arai that the whole Sefer Abu Jam is wrong. The whole premise of the Sefer is wrong. Throw the whole Sefer out. Put it in the Shemus. The whole Sefer is wrong. That's what the Netziv writes in his commentary on the Shiltas. But the Vilna Gaon is still going with the Abu Jam's premise, and he holds that there are a couple of exceptions to the rule. Tefillin is an exception to the rule, and Kapas Tamarim. Lulav HaMetil is a little exception. You have to figure out why. Why are these exceptions to the rule? I don't know. It's a good question. There was a big, the Stechemet quotes, there was a big machlokes in Europe where the one says Bari Piho Eitz on seedless grapes or on seedless fruits. So some Gedolim held that if the fruit is seedless, it's not called a pri, because the Pasuk in Bereshis says, Cho Piho Eitz HaShazara Bo Liminehu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created trees that have fruits growing on them, Ashazara bo, which has the seeds in it. So if it's a seedless fruit, it's not called the prihoetz. So some said not only that, so you don't say bari prihoetz, and you don't say aloetz, but prihoetz, a brach achreina. So the Stechemet quotes all of this. It's all machlokes. So some of the Gedolim pointed out there's a radaka on Yeshaya, where the pasuk in Yeshaya complains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kerem Hoyle Didi Bekeren Ben Shaman. I forgot already. We used to know it by heart when we were in high school. So how does it go? Kodesh Baruch Hu planted something about Taz Be'ushim. He planted good. He planted the Jewish people. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv were the roots, and Sarivka, Rachav, and Leah. We have wonderful roots, wonderful ancestors, and based on the roots, it should have grown a wonderful nation. And the Jewish people sinned, and we ruined everything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Kerem Hoyeli Didi, the Rabbanu Shel Olam, planted the Jewish people, and he wanted it to grow something wonderful, and the fruits are not so good. So the Radak interprets in the Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted seedless grapes, and it turned out that it grew grapes with seeds. The seedless is a higher mila. That's how the Radak says. So they say, but if you say that seedless grapes is not called Bar Pi Hoetz, So it's a chisar and it's not a mile. So they say, you see, the Radak doesn't hold from this whole story. I think they say that the Chafetz Chaim first didn't accept it, and then later on he did accept it. They said the Chafetz, they say Rav Chaim Soloveitchik held like this. And he convinced the Chafetz Chaim that it was so. So the Chafetz Chaim also was maskim not to say. Someone told me that there's no such thing as seedless grapes. It's just that the seeds are not hard, but they're always seeds. Every fruit has to have a seed, otherwise it wouldn't exist. I'm not familiar. You should check into it. So he said that seedless grapes also have seeds. No, they're not hard like wood. They're edible. They have seeds. Anyway, so that's this Dechemit quotes the whole Machloikis from the Gedolim from the late 1800s, from the 1900s, about this, based on the Pasuk in today's Sedra. Rabbi Kiveger, in his comments on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, refers you to look in certain Sfarim. There used to be a strange custom that when a woman would be pregnant, after Sukkos is over, she'd bite off the pitim of the Esek, and she would say a tefillah. What was the tefillah? After the chet of the Eitz Hadas, Chava was punished by Etzev Tel Dibonim, that she should have labor pain, she should have difficulty when she has pregnancy, and when she has labor, and when she has delivery, the women suffer a lot when they have babies. So this is all the punishment because they ate from the Eitz Hadas. So the Ramban on Chumash does not quote this. The Ramban on the Melchamis in the first perek in Chulin, the beginning of Chulin, quotes a medrash that says that the Eitz Hadas was only also Adam Rishon was created on the Yom HaShishi, that was Friday. Today Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Friday. Lo Adu Rosh, and the original Rosh Hashanah was on a Friday. That's what we say the Hayom Harasaylom. We're assuming that Adam Rishon was created on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah wasn't the Yom Harishon, the Sheshes Mei Bereshis. It was the Yom HaShishi. Everything before Adam Rishon was prehistoric. So Adam Rishon, according to that opinion, that he was created B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, means the last 5 days in Elul, and the sixth day of the Bria, Rosh Hashanah, was Echad B'Tishrei. So that's what the Mekubalim say, because the world we live in is imperfect, so that's why Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Friday. If we live in a perfect world, Rosh Hashanah would always be on a Friday like it was the first time. Okay. So the Ramban and Mohammed, the beginning of Chulin, the first Mohammed, I think, in Chulin, quotes a Medrash, Adam Rishon was created on Friday. He was told not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and it was only also that Friday. If he would have waited till Leil Shabbos, it would have been mutter to eat the Eitz Hadas. And he didn't have patience to wait till Friday night. He didn't have self-control to wait till Friday night. So the Medrash says, "Mi gala ofer meinecha adam arishain." We wish we could dig you up from your grave and wipe the ofer out away from your eyes. Look at the Jewish people; they plant a tree and they don't eat the pears for the first 3 years. It's our law. Very often pears don't grow, but even if pears do grow, so we don't eat it. And then the Ramban quotes the rest of the Medrash: "We shech the behema, and we don't eat until we check the reya." We check the lungs to make sure that there are no trephas. That's the famous Ramban, where he talks, how come we only, there are 77 different trephas, how come we only check the reya, the lungs, to see whether you have sirchas on the lungs? What about the other 69 trephas? So the Ramban says that the other 69, we follow the roiv. The roiv behemis ksher is saying, you don't have to check. So why do you have to check the trephas on the reya? So he says, obviously, the trephas on the reya is a miyut tamotzi. So with the Rabbanon, there's a requirement, you don't rely on the Ruba Dalesa Kamon if you have a Miyot HaMotze. So it's only a Miyot HaMotze on Sirchas on the Rei. All the other Trefus is a Miyot Shein HaMotze. So that's the whole question. How high an incidence of Trefus do you have to have that it should be considered a Miyot HaMotze? In America, Rav Soloveitchik used to say that he used to give hashgachas on the slaughterhouse in Boston. So he said, and he used to use all the kulas on the books plus more. He used to have more kulas from the Balatanya and other kulas. And he says, with all of his kulas, he used to have 14, they used to keep record of how often did the shochtim make it in the vela, how often did they slip. If a sheikh is going to make too many times the mail, so they're going to fire him. They get a different sheikh. Obviously, he's not a mumcha. And then, how often did they find trephas? And if it's too often, so they're not going to buy animals from that farm. They'll buy from a different farm. obviously they don't treat the animals well on that farm, so they found too many treifas. So he said, with all of his coolers, on the books and off the books, with all of his coolers, they had 14% treifas. So he used to complain that the glatt kosher claims that they don't use any of the coolers, they only had 9%. So he said, how can it be? How can it be? I have all the coolers and I have 14% treifas, and they claim they're not using any coolers. It's glatt treif. It's not glatt kosher. That's what he used to complain. So what's the percentage that is considered miyot hamotzi? So he used to say over the Darkei Tshuva, the Munkacha on Yeri Day quotes in the Darkei Tshuva, he quotes the Mishkanes Yaakov says 10%. Mishkanes Yaakov claims he has a right from a Gemon Bavli Basra that 10% is called miyot hamotzi. So Rav Soloveitchik said in America, he thinks that he thought it was 14% of all the animals have sirchas on the reya that make treifas. In Eretz Yisrael, they keep records also. In Eretz Yisrael, they claim that it's only 7% of the animals have sirchas. So Rav Al Yashiv says, so you see that the Mishkanes Yaakov is not right. You don't need 10% to be considered miyot hamotzi. If you have 7%, it's also miyot hamotzi. That comes out of Chumrah. Let's say, if you eat the vegetables, do you have to check the vegetables for infestation? You have to check to see if it has bugs in it or not. So if it's a miyot hamotzi, it's all based on this. If it's a miyot hamotzi, what's the likelihood, what's the percentage of a likelihood that you're going to accidentally be eating a bug? So if it's, so according to the Mishkanes Yaakov, the way all the poskim usually assume, 10%, if there's a 10% likelihood that you're going to be eating a bug, then there's a chayvus bedikim in the Rabbanim. In Atari, you're not mechuyev to be boided because you have a right to rely on the roif. So the Ramban writes beferish in the Melchamis and in the Chidushim that this whole din of miyot hamotzi, you need bedikim, is only mid the Rabbanim. So Rav Al Yashar came up with a chumr that if it's 7%, you have to be boided because in Eretz Yisrael, it's only 7% of the behemoths have treifas sircha on the reya. And the Ramban doesn't say what percent, the Ramban says sircha on the reya is a miyot hamotzi.
Which the women
we'll get to it. So the Rabbi Neuwirth, the one who wrote the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, told us that at one time he used to travel to Argentina to supervise the shechita of the meat that they used to bring to Eretz Yisrael to import to Eretz Yisrael. They used to buy meat from America, meat from South America. They didn't shecht in Eretz Yisrael so much. They hardly shecht in Eretz Yisrael. So he said when he was in Argentina, I think he said, supervising the shechita. So he said it was only 5% of the animals had treifas sircha on the reya. But he's not interested in being machmer to say that 5%. If there's a 5% chance that you're going to eat a bug in your vegetable, that you have to be bug. He said, let's leave it at 7%. Let's assume that he didn't want to be machmer more than Rav Al Yashar. So the Ramban quotes this medrash, a fascinating medrash, that the Eitz Hadas was only also on Erev Shabbos. If they would have waited till Friday night, it would have been mutter. So the medrash says, "Mi yigal ofam einecha adam rishon," who's going to dig you out from your grave and show you the Jewish people? They wait shivin ikiyim. When the woman becomes a nida, she waits, and when you plant a tree, you wait 3 years to wait till after the orla is over. And when you shech the beima, you wait till you check the reya to make sure that there's no treifas. So we wait a lot. So in the last page in the Chassidish, there's a Sefer Matei Ephraim by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius. It has all of Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Barichas, then a little bit Hilchas Sukkah and Dalad Minim. And then they have all the popular editions. They have a lot of Hoysofis from Chassidish Achreinim, from more Achreinim. We have a lot more to say. So on the last page in the Sefer, they quote the tefillah that the pregnant women used to say, that there are different opinions in the Gemara, what kind of a tree was the Eitz Hadas. So one of the popular views is that it was an esrog tree. So they were also to eat the esrog only Erev Shabbos. If they would have waited till El Shabbos, it would have been allowed to eat the esrog. And because they couldn't contain themselves, because they didn't have self-control, so that's why Chava was punished. The Etzev tell the Bonim, she's going to have a pain during pregnancy and during delivery, labor pain, and when the baby is born, and so on. So the woman would wait till after Sukkot is over. The Esrog is hooked to the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to eat it for the duration of the whole 8 days of Sukkot. The after Sukkot is over, the woman would eat part of the Esrog, and she would say, "Yihiratzam lofanecha Rabbanu Shalom Vuk." If I would have been there, I waited 8 days. If I would have been there, I would have not have rushed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. would have waited till El Shabbos. I shouldn't be punished with the punishment that Chava was punished. I shouldn't have tzar. So this was a famous from Yiddish folklore, that the pregnant women bite off the pitum from the Esrim. But they don't say the whole explanation why. So in the end of the Rabbi Kivega tells you, look in this and this sefer, and they quote the whole tefillah that they said. The whole reason why Chava was punished, Be'etzav Tel Dibonim, is because he didn't have patience to wait.
So why had Dakar even got the pitum and throw it out?
Don't know. That part I don't know. Professor Fried, who teaches psychology, I think, in Stern College, was telling me that there's a psychologist who took videos without telling the children. His children were young, so the other children came to play with his children. So they took videos of the following. He put a candy on a plate, candy or a nash, some kind of snack, and he told the child, I'm going to come back in 10 minutes, and if you didn't eat the candy, I'm going to come and give you two more candies. And if you did eat the candy, then you're not going to get any more. Do you understand? So they said, yeah. And they have a clock on the wall, and he would show them when the 10 minutes are up. So, and he took videos of each child. He took a separate video without telling the kids that he was taking a video. So some of the kids, the second he walked out, they right away ate the snack. Others, you watched the way they're debating with themselves, debating fight. After 8 minutes, they couldn't control themselves. And some of the kids waited the 10 minutes, and then when he came back, they got the two snacks. So this psychologist who made this video, these were all classmates of his children. So he was following them as they grew up. So those who had self-control completed college, they got married, they made a panasa, they were normal. And those who didn't have self-control, their whole lives were like that. A lot of them dropped out of college, even those who didn't, they kept on switching from one job to another job, and their marriages were wrecked, they got divorced. Self-control is very important for all of life, for Jews and for non-Jews alike. Self-control is very important. This Professor Fried was telling me that when he has a lot of children, I think. So usually when he says Kiddush, and he says Amoitzi, so the baby is sitting next to him. Now, all of his children are married probably by now. So he said the baby sits right near the father. The baby wants the challah first. The baby wants the wine first. So you have to show the child, no, first mommy gets, then the older children get, and then the baby has to learn self-control. You shouldn't give in to the babies. You should start, he was telling me there's a machlokes achronim, from what age on do you have to try to train the child in self-control. Told me the Seder Ayom says at one age, another Achayim says a different age. Okay. It's an important lesson in life, self-control. The Gemara has the comment on the Pesukim. Eitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'odim leimim mekol eitzagan ochal teichal. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has the whole sugya of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Happens to be around the afternoon ches. B'nei Noach around the afternoon ches. And the test over there. Two, three block Gemara. So the Gemara shows, based on that pasuk, that all of the mitzvahs were given, not only not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. That was only Horoa Shoah. All the Avodah Zarah, Gilei Rashvi, Chasdamim, everything was given then. We assume, the Gemara says there, that Eivim Menachai was only given to Noach after the Mabul, because Adam Rishon was supposed to be a vegetarian. Mikol Eitz Hagan, Ochal Tochal, he can eat fruits and vegetables. After the Mabul, Noach is told, you can eat the animals because he saved all of the animals, so he was allowed to eat the animals. But the Adam Rishon was not allowed to eat flesh, so there was no need to have a Nisar Eiv Menachai. So that's why we call it Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Six out of the seven mitzvahs were given to Adam Rishon, and the seventh one was given to Noach after the Mabul. That's how the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchas Malachim. He gives you the whole history of the world. So he says six mitzvahs were given to Adam Rishon, and the seventh one was given to Noach. And then when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, they were given several mitzvahs to Amram. We don't know what the Mokar must be in Medrash somewhere. It's not a famous Medrash. The Rambam says some mitzvahs were given to Amram. Then Moshe Rabbeinu is given a couple of more mitzvahs to Mitzrayim, and then everything, the rest was given to Har Sinai, and so on. He shows you how all the Taryag mitzvahs, the whole history developed. The pasuk is very strange when the Nochash is trying to convince Chava to sin, to eat from the Eitz Hadas. It says, V'yisim kelehim yodei toi v'ra. So the Medrash seems to understand it literally. The Medrash says that God knows that whoever eats from the Eitz Hadas becomes a god. How do you think he became God? He ate from the Eitz Hadas, and he's jealous. He doesn't want to have any competition. Kol umen sani lebarim nase. Every craftsman is jealous of the others. He wants to be the only one who's successful. So that's why God told you not to eat the Eitz Hadas. He doesn't want to have any competition. He knows if you're going to eat from the Eitz Hadas, you'll also become all-knowing like God himself. And she fell for that. And Chava fell for that. She thought she's going to become God. So that's what the Baal HaTanya quotes in the Tanya. He quotes from the Zohar that the Gaiva is the root of all of sin. The Chet of the Eitz Hadas was recorded in the Chumash to show us what a typical sin is like. That the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Hakinim HaTayv HaKovid, Mentzim HaSodim and Oilim, that people lose the Oilim HaBo because of Averis, and the root of all of the Averis are these three Midas Megunas. Akina v'hatayv v'hakovin. What is the root of all of those three? Akina, I'm jealous of other people. I hold, I deserve better. What do you mean I'm only? I should be the highest shir in the yeshiva. I should get paid the highest salary. I should have the most lovely wife, and I should have the most beautiful home. I'm jealous of anything that anybody else has because I'm much bigger and greater and whatever. I deserve the best of the best of the best. People think so highly of themselves. So they're jealous of others. Hakina, the Hataiva, I should be able to do whatever I want. I'm so great. Why should I be restricting? COVID? COVID is up your head. I deserve much more COVID than I'm getting. So the root of all three, Hakina, the Hataiva, or COVID, the root of everything is really Gaiva. So the Baal HaTanya quotes such a passage from the Zohar on this pasuk. That the root of all of the story of the Eitz Hadas was written in Chumash to show us what a typical Avera is like. A typical Avera. People have Gaiva. Different branches of Gaiva. Kino, Atav, Akavada. Three branches of Gaiva. This is the root of all of sin. It's also written in Chumash to show us that a lot of times people sin because of pressure of the society. That's how the Medrash says. Kishamata lekol ishtecho. That Chava was crying. First Chava ate when the Eitz Hadas Yisim kelohim gevaldik, and then she told the other Marishan he should eat also. So he said, "What do you mean? But God told me I shouldn't eat." So she started crying to him. So he said, "I'm going to die, and you're going to remain by yourself." So she, because she was crying, kishamata lekol ishtecho. Doesn't say big kol ishtecho. She didn't say anything logical. Kishamata lekol ishtecho. That she was crying, so because of social pressure, people give in, they do Avera. So the Torah depicts the original sin that we should know what to be careful from. We shouldn't fall in with this. So what does the Taka mean? What does it mean? V'yisim kelehim yodi tevara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he created the Eitz Hadas Toivara. What does it mean, Eitz Hadas Toivara? So the Rambam starts off the first chapter in the Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam quotes this kasha. If Adam Rishon didn't have seichel before he ate from the Eitz Hadas, he didn't know the difference between Toivara, Yodea Toivara. So he's Allah Badas. Allah Badas, Allah Baronshin. So how can you give him a tzivui? How can you command him not to eat from the Eitz Hadas if he doesn't have any seichel? And how can you hold him responsible? How can you punish him? He should be Allah Baronshin. So it cannot be understood kipshuto. Eitz Hadas Toivara, that only after eating from the Eitz Hadas, then Adam Rishon became a Bardas, a Varsechel Tenel Tovara. So how do you read the Pshat and the Psukim? It's very strange. So the Rambam has an interpretation. He claims that before they ate from the Eitz Hadas, Adam Rishon had Sechel. He knew the difference between right and wrong. Emes and Sheker. He knew the difference between Emes and Sheker. And Tovara means what's pleasant and what's not pleasant. That was a different chush. Before eating from the Eitz Hadas, Adam Rishon had a clear way to think, is it right or wrong? So it's not right to do this, so you're not allowed to do it. And after eating from the Eitz Hadas, then man developed an attitude, it's more pleasant to make more money, so I'm going to take a job, not to be a Shem Shabbos. It's more pleasant to spend less money on buying food, So why should I keep kosher? Kosher food is more expensive. You have to have two sets of dishes. You have to have four sets of dishes. Pesach, they can flesh it, milch again all year long, and the flesh is so expensive. And you can't work on Shabbos, and I want to go to the beach and go swimming on Shabbos. I want to relax. I want to take it easy. So people have a desire to do, we judge the world, not only in terms of emes and sheker, we judge the world in, it's a major consideration that we all have when we decide how we're going to act, is tovara, is it pleasant or is it unpleasant? That's how the Rambam interprets in the Mor Nevuchim. In the Hasidish Svarim, they have a little different, but it's basically the same thing, I think. I don't think it's so much different. Slightly different, they say, Eitz Adas Tovara Murovim Zebazeh. That before the Chet of the Eitz Adas, Adam Rishon was able to discern, this is Tov and this is Ra. And after the Chet of the Eitz Adas, man always rationalizes. I did something wrong, and I said, well, it's not so bad. I stole money from the other guy. The guy's so rich, he's never going to realize that I stole the money from him. I cheat on income tax. So what? We always rationalize about things that we do. It's not so bad. So that's called Tov HaRa Me'urovim Zeh B'Zeh. Before the Chet of the Eitz Adas, that's how the Gemara says, Rav Huna says, Kivin She'ovar Adam Aver V'Shana Bo Nasus Loi Keheter. If a person repeats the Avera, he does the Avera once and twice and so on, he repeats it. So the first time he does the Avera, it's a shock. He knows you're not allowed to do the Avera. He does it once and twice, he gets used to it, so he rationalizes. Every story that people tell over, they're the center of the whole story. They'll change the whole story, and they'll be the center of everything. Everybody's like that. They're the center. By some people, even the Rebbeinu Shlomo is on the periphery. They're the center of the world, and the whole religion dances around that. The other people at least realize that God has to be in the center, but I'm in the center also. We'll share the center spotlight. Yeah, but people usually rationalize it. That's what Rav Huna says. That's Kivin She'ovar Adam Aver V'Shana Bo Nasus Lo Keheter. So before Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, it was Tov and Ra was Ra. And after eating from the Eitz Hadas, the Medrash says, Ha'isha Hashem Asat Animadi Hi Nosan Liva Oichal. So the Medrash says, Achalti Loi Namer Ela Oichal. Achalti V'Oichal Loi. Tells the Rebbeinu Shlom, I ate and I'm going to continue to eat. That's mamash like Rav Huna says. He talked it into himself that it's not so bad. There's nothing wrong with eating from the Eitz Hadas. So that's what the Chassidish is from, called Tovara Murovim Zeh B'Zeh. That it's hard to discern. Once you sin, you get used to it. So it's hard to keep a clear mind to know that Tov is Tov and Ra is Ra. The boundaries become blurred. That's came out the same as what the Rambam says. Same idea. The Pasuk, the Ravid wrote a sefer that's called Bali HaNefesh. It has all the laws of Hilchas Nida, and Hilchas Mikvos, and Hilchas Tvila. So in the introduction to the Bali HaNefesh, he writes about the institution of marriage a little bit. So he writes that by animals, the Zohar and the Keva were created separately. And then they happen to meet. And then when they're together, they're together. And then each one can go find another Nekeva, another Zohar. They don't necessarily have to stick together. Adam Arishain was shown all the animals. How does it say in the Chumash? He shows them all the animals and he gives them all names. It sounds as if he was looking in the animal kingdom to see if he wants to marry any of those. So he sees a lion and he sees a tiger and he sees a bear and he sees a sheep and he sees a lamb. He sees a duck and a turkey and this and that. A rooster. He's not interested. So the Baruch Shalom said, oh, he couldn't find a mate. He'll have to create chava. So the Ravid asks, what was the Havamina? So I remember when I was in college, we studied Milton's Paradise Lost. So Milton asked the Kasha also, what was the Havamina? So he says, Baruch Shalom was playing a joke on other Rish. But the Kasha is a good Kasha. So the Ravid gives a different answer. Oh, Yishlam. He doesn't say like Milton. The Ravid came before Milton. So the Ravid says, the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to impress upon Adam Rishon. What's the institution of marriage is? You're not going to find an Ezer. The other Rabbi Baruch Hashem says, look, a man, only animal. You're not going to find an Ekeva of the human species. You're not going to find an Ekeva. Is going to come from you. Because there's supposed to be an institution of marriage that the Ekeva and the Zohar should be together. Then he also develops another idea that we didn't really get to understand so well until recent years when they make heart organ transplants. So the natural tendency of the body is to reject all foreign matter. The fertility doctors say that it's a miracle that the Nekeva doesn't reject the Zera from the Zohar. It's a miracle that any woman ever becomes pregnant. Because the body normally rejects the Ra, some women who are allergic to the husband's sperm. But that's the Yetzim and HaKlal. The Klal normally is that a woman is not allergic, but that itself is a miracle, because the body is always rejecting all foreign bodies. So the Ravid writes, because the body normally rejects all foreign bodies, so the Rebbe Shlom couldn't have created Adam and Chava separately and have them blend in together. They're not going to blend in together. They won't be able to see how to make Chava come from Adam. So it shouldn't be considered a foreign body, so the Zohar shouldn't reject any cave. This is what he has in his Hakdamah to the Bali HaNefesh. The rest of the Sefer is all halacha, just the Hakdamah is a little bit Parshanas HaMikra.
Which way does it go? Is that the Zohar shouldn't reject the Nekeva, or the Nekeva shouldn't reject the Zohar?
Both.
Both.
Both ways, yeah. Both ways. The Pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, he took Offerman Adama, and then Vayipach Piyapov Nishmas Chayim, Vayihi Adam LaNefesh Chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew life into the nostrils of Adam HaRishon. Vayipach Piyapov Nishmas Chayim, Vayihi Adam LaNefesh Chayim. So this Vasemis has an interesting idea in his drushes, which Rav Huttner expanded upon, that Ki Yashoy from Rosh Hashanah is Zecher to that. We blow into the shofar like to represent the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is blowing the Tzelem Elokim into man. The Zohar has a lashon, man denofach mi delay nofach. When a person blows, when you blow glass to make a big bottle or something, so you have to take a deep breath and then blow from the inside of your kishkis, you blow a lot of air in. So Kadosh Baruch Hu vayikbach be'apam nishmas chaim, he blew Tzelem Elokim, he blew Elokus into Adam. So Adam was blessed with this. So that's supposed to be one of the kavanas. That's what the Svasamis has, and Rav Huttner picks up on this in his collected drushes in the Parat Yitzchak. That one of the kavanas of Tkiyah Shofar is to remind us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into Adam, so we have this Midah of Elkus within us. We have the Chumash describes the karbonas that were brought by the two brothers, Cain and Hevel. So the simple mashmos of the pasuk is that the original idea of bringing karbonas was thought of by Cain. So the Gemara doesn't say like that. The Gemara says that Adam Rishon brought a carbon. Adam Rishon brought a carbon. I don't know, but that's not mentioned in the Chumash. It sounds as if the first one in the world who came up with the idea of karbonis was Cain, but Cain didn't work out all the details well. So Cain decided, I'm going to give a gift to the Rebbe Shalom, but it's only symbolic. He's not going to eat the fruits or the vegetables. So it's a baltashchis. I should take the good fruits and vegetables. So he took rotten fruits and vegetables. It's just symbolic anyway. So he took, he didn't take Ben Amufcha. His brother Hevel wasn't such an original thinker, but he saw that Cain came up, hey, there's a nice idea, we should bring a matana to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But he decided that it's not a bal tashchis to give min amufcha. So the pasuk says that he brought mimchores tzona michalvehen. He brought min amufchor. So then the Ribbono Shel Olam accepted his carbon. Well, Cain val mchasa lo shah. Kodesh Baruch Hu did not accept the carbon of Cain, and he told him so. I'm not accepting your carbon because you made a mistake. So in life, you have a lot of times like that. People like to do chidushim. Human beings like to be original, to be creative and to be original. This is all, it all stems from the Tzelem Elokim within us. The whole, Rav Soloveitchik has in one of his essays, that's one of the published essays, that Parshas Bereishis is a parsha of halacha, just like parshas kiseitza, just like parshas re'eh. What halachas do you have? Just have pru revu. That's all. What halachas do you have? You can't eat from the eitz hadas. That was a hayra hashom once in the history of the world. By tzavah shel makim ala adam. Okay, the sheish mitzvahs ben inoich you have. So he said, no, the parsha describes the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And the Torah says, v'alachta bedrachav, in parsha's kisova, we have to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to preserve the tzelem alakim that all of us have. So the Torah is describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being creative and original and talented and so on. So every person should develop his unique talents. And whatever he's cut out to become. A person has talents in music, talents in science, talents in learning. Whatever talents you have, you should develop and go into that field. This is part of a halachta bedrachov. So, to be original, to come up with chidushim, is a wonderful thing. The Medrash even speaks about Chidushei Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates very much Chidushei Torah. There's a pasuk in Shiraz Devoiro, that's the Haftorah of Bishalach. The pasuk says, because the Jewish people worship Avodah Zarah, because the Jewish people chose to worship new gods, Avodah Zarah, Oz Lachim Sharm, so therefore there was Muhammad in the cities in Eretz Yisrael, in the middle of the cities, and the Jews were not prepared for the war. The Jewish people didn't have any weapons to fight with, they didn't have any shields to protect them, and they almost lost the war. And it was miraculous that they won the war. They won the war. So that's the Pashup Shad. Yevchar lehim chadoshim, because the Jews worshipped Avodah Zarah, Oz Lachim Shavu, they were punished, and Muhammad came into the cities. So the Medrash Yalkut Shemani has an additional level of interpretation in the whole Pasuk, that Lelekim is Lashon Kodesh. Yevchar lehim chadoshim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates Chidusha Torah, and therefore the Jewish people, the Tamir HaChacham, Waran Bimahana, the Rabbani Shalom, so to speak, Kiva Yochol. So we fight Muhammad Shaltar, Oz Lachim Sharm. That's why in yeshivas we argue out, we fight Malchamta Shotam, we come up with Chidushim to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chidushim is a wonderful thing. Rav Soloveitchik has in one of his books in English, in the Halachic Mind, so he has a footnote where he points out that the Rambam has as one of the 13 principles of Emunah, Shazos HaTor Lo Si Himuchlefes. We don't have any Shinuyim. You don't have Shinuyim, but you can have Chidushim. So what's a Chidush and what's a Shinuy? So you have to be a big Talmud Chacham to know what's a Chiddush and it is acceptable, and what's a Shinui and it's not acceptable. The Ktzais HaChoshen has in the introduction to his Sefer, he has a Hisnatzlus. What right do I have to write my original ideas, my Chiddushim? Maybe I'm ploitering. Maybe everything is wrong. Who says that I know what I'm talking about? The Medrash has an expression, Kol Ma She Talmud Vasik Oseh L'Chadosh Nemelon L'Moshe Misinah, whatever a Talmud Vasik. Whatever Talmud Vasik means, a proper Talmud, is Mechadesh, was Nemar L'Moshe Messina. Who says that I'm a Talmud Vasik? Who says that my Chidushim are Emes? Maybe they're all false Chidushim. So the Rab Chaim Volozhin writes about this also, Nefesh HaChaim, he has a whole arichas about Chidushei Torah. So he says, Chidushim Amitiyim, if they're Emes Dike Chidushim, then it's then HaKadosh Baruch Hu cherishes it, then he appreciates it very much. So the Ktzais HaChoshen explains how he gave himself the license to print his Chidushim. He says because when he was learning, he always came up with Chidushim, and then he would look and he would find the Rishonim say it. Many times he would find the Rishonim say it. So he says that's to his check. So he says he sees if the Rishonim say it, says it in good sources, so that means he's going on the right highway. He's going on the right derech. So he thinks that maybe what he has to say is, maybe he is a Talmud Vasik, and maybe what he says is good. The Nesivis apparently didn't think so. Nesivis disagrees very often with the Ksais. Okay, but so that's Taka problem. Human beings always want have a desire to be Mechadish. And people want to be Mechadish in religion also. People want to be Mechadish, they want to do the mitzvahs, and everyone wants to have his input to do so. So Chidushim are a wonderful thing, provided that it's Chidushim Amitiyim. So here you have the contrast between Cain and Hevel. Cain was the original thinker. He came up with this idea we should bring carbonus, but he didn't work out the details. So he got stuck over here. He got stuck. So he decided to bal tashchis to bring the edible fruits and vegetables. So he brought rotten. It's just symbolic anyway. So the Baruch Shalom is not going to have Hanor from eating. He's not going to eat whatever. He's going to burn it on the Mizbech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it may as well just for the symbolism, so it's good enough if you bring the inferior quality. And Hevel was not the original thinker, but he was Oisgehalten. So that's the moral of the story, is that it's more important to be Oisgehalten than to be an original thinker. There are a lot of rabbis. I don't think we have the monopoly. I don't think Yeshiva Savitz Kohan has the monopoly all over the world, and I don't think our generation has the monopoly either. This was going on from time immemorial. In every generation, there were Talmidim Shaloshim Shukol Tzarkam. People thought that they were God's gift to the world. They thought that they're so learned and so talented, and their original ideas are mamish, eye-opening, and they have so much to contribute to the world. And they came up with all these new chidushim, women's prayer groups, and so on and so forth, women's akafis, and all the other baloney. They should have consulted with other Talmid HaChachamim. The Pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considering creating Adam HaRishon, that was going to be a Chiddush. So it says, he consulted with others. Nasa Adam and Talmid. Who did he consult with? We believe there's only one God. So who did he consult with? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he consulted with the angels. The angels are more knowledgeable than the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The angels are more intelligent. They're more learned. No. So the Rabbanu Shalom says to us, even if you are more intelligent than the others, I'm more intelligent than the angels, still it's a good idea. Utshua berov yoyitz, the Pasuk says, utshua berov yoyitz. You should consult with others, even if the others are less intelligent. So even if a person thinks that he's the biggest Talmid Chacham in the world, he should always consult with others, even if the others are less learned than he is. We should learn from the Rabbanu Shalom. That's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Why is this written in the Chumash? Nasa Adam and Salmeinu? That we should learn from the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's part of a halach to bedrachov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes in the Chumash that he did certain things. A lot of times it's not exactly what he did, but it's hichtiv biyatzmo. He dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write that I did this. Like it says, v'yamashvi shavas v'ayinu afash. The Rabbanu Shalom relaxed on Shabbos. Why? He was working so hard all the 6 days that he had to rest up. He created the world, we say in Akdamas, Bala Leo Shachlale, Bala Tishishu. So he didn't get exhausted. He didn't have to work hard when he created it. Dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. He had a ratzon, he had a desire that things should come into existence, and they came into existence. So he didn't get exhausted. So how does it say, V'yamashvei Shavas V'yinofash? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Hichtiv Yatzma Menucha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write that I rested on Shabbos. It's not true, but it's not a lie either. He rested, he didn't create. But it's not resting in the same sense that a human being rests. He dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write that, so that people will understand that that's part of our lachta bedrachav, that human beings should rest also once a week. So this is also, Nasa Adam Itzalmeinu, Hichta Biyatzma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, write in the Chumash that I consulted with the angels. We don't know exactly what that means. What do you mean? Baruch Shalom consulted with the angels. How did they had a meeting? He said, what do you say? The whole thing is strange. And the Medrash goes on to say there was a Gansa Machloikis, and then he didn't listen to the angels. He didn't listen to the angels. So he threw them down. He threw the angels out. So, but Hichta Biatzmo, Nasa Adam, that he consulted, that we should learn that that's one of the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's part of a Halachta Bidrochov. They say that they asked the Beis HaLevi when he was a young child, what does he think is more important in the Jewish religion? Does he think that the Hashkafa is more important or Midas Tovus is more important? It's a question that all parents face when you have to send your children to yeshiva. So there's some yeshivas where they emphasize Midas Tovus. The day only has 24 hours. In the school day only has so many hours. And the minutes that you spend on emphasizing this are taken away from emphasizing other things. So in some Hasidic yeshivas, they hack. Shehakol and Mezainis and Asher Yotzei, you got to say this bracha, and the kids are wild like anything. They have no midas tovus. And the other schools, they keep on teaching and preaching about midas tovus, and they use up all the time on the midas tovus. There isn't enough time to teach kids the Shulchan Aruch and to teach halachas, but brachas. So it's going to be a choice that all of you will face when you have to. There is no yeshiva in the world. It's impossible. the day only has 24 hours. So either you have to emphasize this or this. So yes, the Beis HaLevi has a child. What does he think is more important? Which should take precedence? Midas Tevis or Hashkafa? So he said, you see from the Pasuk that Midas Tevis is more important, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote in the Chumash, Nasa Adam et Salmeinu, and Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he wrote over here, Amokam for Apikursim, to believe that there's more than one God. And that's Adam. Sounds like God consulted with his assistants, with the other members of the board. There's only one God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Lashon Nasa Adam to teach this lesson of humility, that people who want to come up with a Chiddush, he wanted to create Adam, was going to be a Gevaldige Chiddush, should consult with others, even if the others are less intelligent and less knowledgeable than they themselves are. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt it important to teach this Midah Tova of humility and consulting with others, even at the expense of possibly having people misunderstand that there's more than one God. So you see that the lesson of Midas Tevis is more important than the lesson of Hashkofa. That's what they quote from the Beis HaLevi as a young child. He brought that raya from this Medrash that Rashi quotes on Chumash. So this is the story of Cain and Hevel. The Bali Musa point this out, that Cain seems to be the original thinker here. But Yahweh Cain, he brought the carbon, and Hevel was just a copycat. But Hevel wasn't the original thinker, but he worked out the details. It's more important to be Oisgehalten than to be an original thinker.
What's Oisgehalten?
Oisgehalten to be that everything should be done in a correct, proper fashion. A lot of people who are original thinkers, they just have the original nitzotz and shite. They just do the original thing. You have to work out all the details to make sure that the details correspond to the spirit of the law of the rest of the Torah. You want to introduce a new minig, a new thing, a new chiddush, you have to make sure that it corresponds to the spirit of the rest of the Torah. When Cain ultimately killed his brother, wow, he was so jealous of the fact that the brother's carbon was accepted, his was not accepted, his nas was not accepted, so he murders his brother. So he, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, so he says, oh boy, I know I'm going to get it now. Umiponecha esoser. I understand that my punishment is going to be that I'll have to hide from the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Umiponecha esoser. So the Pasuk says that's exactly what his punishment was. Vayetzei Kain melifnei Hashem. Kain had to leave the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Where did he go? Where is he going to go? To Chutz La'aretz. Where is he going to go? So the Ramban HaChumash has a comment. He says, when a person davens, you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you bring a carbon, you bring a matana to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you shake a lulav, the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching. When you put on tefillin, when you eat matzah, when you do all the mitzvahs HaTorah, you're not directly dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Cain understood that his punishment will be that from now on he'll never be allowed to daven, he'll never be allowed to bring a carbon. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to allow him to be face-to-face with him. And the Pasuk says that's exactly what happened. He had to leave the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He no longer had the right to daven. Daven all you want, I'm not going to listen. You talk to the walls. And he couldn't bring any more karbonos. That was the punishment. Some people would consider that a reward. You don't have to daven. What a wonderful thing, a putter from davening. So the Torah says that's considered a punishment. He was no longer allowed to daven, and his karbonos would not be accepted, so he couldn't bring any more karbonos. They quote in the name of one of the big Chassidish Rebbes, Abitzel Levurka, that the Medrash points out that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Nachash, it's not like a boss of a dumb punishes, that when I want to punish my enemy, so I utterly destroy him. I'll ruin his marriage, I'll ruin his parnasa, I'll ruin his reputation. I'll utterly destroy him in all areas. Ribbono Shel Olam punishes, but it's not so bad. So the Pasuk says, Ofatecho kol yimei chayecha, the Nachash was punished, but until the chet of the Eitz Hadas, the Nachash used to eat regular food. And after the chet of the Eitz Hadas, Nachash was punished that he eats offer. Nothing tasted good. Everything tasted, even if he eats potato chips and ice cream, tastes like offer. But he never has to worry about a parnasa. If he's going to be on a desert island and there's no food to eat, he'll eat offer. Wherever he goes, he eats offer. So makshim ha'olam. So matzina chayte niskar. So he's being rewarded because he sins. So he never has a daigas apanos. He's always gonna have food wherever he goes. He's gonna have food. He doesn't have to carry any food with him wherever he'll be. He'll always have offer to eat. So they say in name of this Chassidish Rabbi Tzalavurka, that's the biggest curse. That when man needs things, you need a parnasi, you need a shidduch, you need a job, you need to go to school. Everybody has certain needs. So we have the right to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask him to take care of our needs. If the Baruch Hu gives you a credit card and everything is taken care of, and you never have to ask him for anything, you're not lacking anything, so there's nothing to daven about, nothing to daven for. So the Nachash was punished. He's given a parnasa for the rest of his life, and he never has the right to daven for anything because he never has any needs. There's a rabbi, Lef, he used to be in Florida, and now he's in Eretz Yisrael. He's an American. So he was telling the story once in the NCSY group in the summertime. He was telling the story when he was in Florida. So they had a Jewish Federation. So they had a non-Jewish boy came. He thought that he was Jewish because his father was Jewish. Then when they found out he wasn't, his mother was not Jewish, so he went to the Christian Federation. But first he came to the Jewish Federation. So what was the problem? His mother passed away. His mother was not Jewish, his father was Jewish. His mother passed away, and he was living with the father. And then the father met another woman, and he wanted to marry her. But the other woman didn't want to have this nudnik around the house. She didn't want that. This boy was 18 years old. So she didn't want to have him around the house. She wanted to have a good time with her husband. So the husband had to decide what he's going to do now. He's only going to clinch the shidduch if he gets rid of the son. So he gave the son an apartment in Florida. He gave him a credit card, and he said, "You're out of my life. For the rest of your life, if you need anything, use the credit card as much as you want to charge. You want to go fly by airplane, you want to buy fruits, vegetables, furniture, automobile, whatever you want, charge everything to the credit card, but never come to my home because my new wife doesn't want to have anything to do with you." So the kid almost had a nervous breakdown over there. He has everything in the world, but he doesn't have a relationship with his father. So that's why he came to this federation. So that was the story with the Nochash. That's how Rabbi Tzalavurka says by the Nochash. He was given the credit card. He has offer techo kol yemecha, and he'll never be lacking offer. So the mele is nothing ever to daven for. So he'll never have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a schia that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give us everything that we need. So we have to ask for it, and that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to create the world. The pasuk says, "V'chal tziach hasod eterem yeh ba'oretz." How does it say? So Rashi on that pasuk quotes from the Medrash. The Medrash has an addition, a new interpretation. The Medrash understands siach means no one was davening yet, so the meled nothing grew. Rashi says the Esav was below the surface of the ground and it didn't pop up above. Because there wasn't any rain, but Odamayin and Odamarishin wasn't there yet. Avoid Shabbalev to pray for the rain. We're going to say we didn't start yet. We said we're going to say the same Talamata. So people wonder, wait a minute, Jewish people are not going to say the same Talamata, it's not going to rain. So the Medrash interprets in that pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't cause the rain to come because he wants man to pray for the rain. Man should realize that nothing is going to grow in the world, no vegetation is going to grow unless there's going to be rain. He should recognize what he's missing and he should daven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesavele Tfilosim Shel Tzadikim. The famous Gemara says that Tzorah and Rivka and Rachel were barren. They were akoras, and Avram was an akor. Why? Everyone was an akor of akora. The whole existence of the Klal Yisrael is l'mala min ha-teva. Why did Ribbono Shel Olam make that they should be akorim? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu misavel tefilosam shel tzadikim. We don't know what that means. People have a desire for women. People have a desire for food. People have a desire for money. People have a desire for tefila. People don't have a desire for tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his desires, he has taiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaveh I have my desires, he has his desires. He has a desire. Kadosh Baruch Hu misava, he has a taiva for tefilosim shel tzadikim. So here the pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't cause the rain to come until after he created Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon should understand the need for the rain, and he should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefilas from the Dvarim Ha'emdim Berum Shaloylam. The Gemara in Brachas quotes the pasuk in Tehillim. Kirum Zulos Livnei Adam. So the Gemara interprets Tefilas from the Dvarim Ha'emdim Berum Shaloylam and Bnei Adam Amizalzalim Ahem. That somehow we don't appreciate it. We don't understand the Lakus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such a desire. He wants people to daven to him. So he created the world in such a way that man should be missing a lot and they should have to be mispavel for it. There's a famous medrash on the pasuk. Every day it says, Vayar lekim kitov, Vayar lekim kitov. And on the sixth day, Vayar lekim es kol asher asa, v'hinei toiv miyoid. So the medrash has a comment, toiv zahachayim tov miyod zahamovis. What kind of a... What does that mean, tov miyod zahamovis? What's so wonderful about dying? Everyone, zerchein alechayim, everybody wants to live. What do you mean, tov miyod zahamovis? So the Mefarshim usually say that if God is a good God and he has complete control over the world, so we don't understand what they call the problem of evil, how come we have Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh V'Tovlom? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a good God and he's in complete control, he knows what's happening and he cares about what's happening, so how does he allow so many tragedies to occur? So it's a big question. So the Gemara says in Brachas, all the prophets, all the Nevi'im, all the philosophers from all the generations were bothered with discussion. If you believe that there's more than one God, that would be a good term. There's a God of good and a God of evil, and they're fighting with each other. So one God is in charge of that. Why? But we don't believe in that terrors. If you say that God does know what's happening, you say God doesn't have control. So the simple terrors, but we don't accept any of the terutzim. So according to our belief, we have all the Yud Gimli Kor Emunah. So how can it be? If God is a good God, he knows what's happening and he cares. So how does he allow such tragedies to occur in the world? So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question, how come you have Tzadik V'Ra'ala V'Rosh V'Tovlo? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I'm going to hide B'Nikra Satsur, V'Risa Sachar Ayafonei Lairo. What does that mean? Very difficult pshat in the pasuk. So they quote from one of the Gedolim that perhaps what it means is V'Risa Sachar, after all of history will be unfolded, you'll be able to look back in retrospect and you'll understand that everything was in advance, as things are unfolding, that man can't understand that everything is l'tayve. The appearance is, the perception is, the mistaken perception is that there are great tragedies happening in the world, but after all of history will be unfolded, looking back in retrospect, we'll be able to understand that everything was l'tayve. How can it be that they killed so many millions and millions and millions of Jews? I was born in the middle of the Second World War. So after the war was over, they said the Nazis killed 9 million Jews. The 6 million Jews, those are how many the Nazis kept records of. There were more than 6 million Jews killed by the Nazis. And then they killed non-Jews also. We cry about the fact they killed so many Jews. They killed Albanians, and they killed Gypsies, and they killed a lot of minorities. And Stalin killed more than Hitler. So many tragedies in the world. How can this be called Madav Rachman al Tabav? How can we understand it? We can't understand it. But that's what's usually interpreted. Man looks at a slice of history, he takes it out of context, and it looks like something is evil. You see Tzadik V'Ra'ala V'Rosh V'Tov. If you see the entire picture from the beginning to the end, you look back in retrospect, and you take everything in context, Risa Sacharai. If you look back in retrospect, everything will fit into place, and we'll understand that whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu does is really the Torah. So that's what they interpret in this Medrash. When you look at everything, when you look at everything in its totality, mavis also, which is always a tragedy, even if a person dies at the age of, my father died at the age of 94. So still, it's also considered a tragedy. He could have lived on, and he could have had more happy years. Death is always a tragedy. So the pasuk means to say, if you look at everything and it's proper context, kola sherasa, vayarkim es kola sherasa, v'hinei toiv miyoid, zeha mavis. Mavis, all the tragedies, when looked at in the proper context, also considered toiv.
Just to clarify, does it mean that a person will see everything in his life as good after he dies?
We never see the whole picture. If we would see the whole picture. The Mishnah says, "Kishem shemavarcham ala tova kach mavarcham ala ro." Just like you say a bracha when something wonderful happens, say atayv ameitiv, so too you say a bracha when a tragedy occurs. So the Gemara asks, well, how do you say kishem shemavarcham? It's a different bracha. Here you say atayv ameitiv, here you say dayin ha'emes. You're going to say, just like you say bracha on potatoes, so too you say bracha on soda. This is ha'adam and this is shahakal. What's the connection? Just like so too. It's not the same thing at all. So the Gemara says, no, it is the same. That you're supposed to say the bracha dayin ha'emes when a tragedy occurs. You're supposed to say the bracha b'simcha. Why? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rabbeinu Yoina, old paragraph, that the perception is that a tragedy occurred, so the Nusach HaBracha should be Baruch Dayin HaEmes. But you're supposed to have Amunah. Amunah means something that we you don't really see it. We're supposed to have Amunah. They're called Madavid Rachmana Letava. We're supposed to believe that everything is really Letava. So you're supposed to recite the Bracha with Simcha. You're supposed to recite the Bracha with Simcha. They tell a story about one of the Bali Musa, the Rosh Yeshiva from Slabodka. When the yeshiva moved, they heard that the government was going to draft the yeshiva Bachem also. So he moved with half of the yeshiva to Hebron in Eretz Yisrael. And then there were the riots, the pogroms in Hebron, they killed a lot of them. So so before they had the riots, so the Rosh Yeshiva lost his son. Way before. He had a young son who was around 20 or so. And he's very promising and learning, and he died suddenly. So it was a Musa yeshiva. Slabodka was famous for Musa. And the Musa nikkas are always makbid on being on time, not to keep other people waiting. So they were kaveh when the funeral was going to be, so the father of the boy who died came an hour late. So they couldn't understand, how can he come an hour late to keep everybody waiting an hour? So they were afraid to ask him. So in the middle of the shiva, towards the end of the shiva, someone brought it up to him. How come he waited an hour? So he started to cry. So he said, the din requires, you have to say the bracha, dayin ha'emes b'simcha. You have to have emunah that the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing l'tayv. How can it be l'tayv? I lost my son. He was such a young boy, promising. He wasn't even married. He was so strong in learning. So it took him an hour to keep on reviewing in his mind that we believe that everything the Ribbono Shel Olam does l'tayv. And then after an hour of working on himself, he felt that he'll be able to attend the funeral and recite the bracha with some degree of simcha. Okay, very important lessons in Parashat Bereishis for all of our lives. Okay, a good Shabbos, everybody. Have to give a shiur 1:30 on Erevin.